The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and issue number 138. And what's the title, John?
Bond Universe number one.
Yeah. This we don't know the timestamp on this show because we had thunderstorms to deal with. We lost, I don't know how many times we lost connections. But we got through it, right?
We did.
Yeah, we did. we had a really good Bad Batch talk this week.
Yeah.
Deeper than we, if you're not watching Bad Batch, you might want to skip over that. We actually got into some spoilers on that, and that shows little over halfway through, but most people, I think, are going to. If you're listening to us, like we said, Star Wars, we're probably watching it. of course, we talk Loki to start, spoilers, spoiler-free, and then spoilers and Kryptonite at the end. Quite a few books, but Checkout was a good time this week. I enjoyed it. John, not so much, and we go back and forth a little bit, but hey, that's what this is all about. So,
yeah.
All right. Almost didn't even have an open. John had to remind me.
I know.
It's a rough week.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what you're here for. Yeah. You even threw me for a loop this week, and I still was on cue for that. So, hey, we got some stuff going on this week, things to tune into. All right, John, let's get into the store. Then we can have dinner.
Yes.
Hey, Johnny Longpants. How we doing, buddy?
Short, man. I'm short.
You're short? That's a little homage to my buddy Tommy Longpants, who we call... Okay. Yeah, we play play hockey with him. Actually, he's the guy I worked with at my other job, Blendtec. But when we went, I was with him. This is like 15 years ago. We went to the store. He was getting back into hockey, whatever, needed a pair of pants. And he bought rollerblading pants, long pants. So now all through the leagues, like the teams he plays on, he's in the 45 and over league. And I talk to guys in that, and they're like, oh, do you know Tommy Longpants? And I just crack up. Like, yeah, I was with him when he bought those. He's the only one that...
save him.
Yeah, he's the only one that wears long pants when he plays hockey, like the old New Jersey Devils back in the 80s and stuff. So Johnny Longpants, how we doing, buddy? How's your week going?
It's going all right, man. Can't complain.
That's good. Short week. You got the notes and stuff, and we got what's going on with FOC? Everything's due tomorrow because of what, the holiday and stuff?
Well, DC is due tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Because of the holiday. The other, Diamond is normal. And they can still have their unattended website working on Mondays.
Yeah.
Diamond will be closed, but their FOC program still functions. I still have yet to figure out why Lunar can't seem to have the same.
Right.
But it's the holiday weekend, so that's DC always moves their FOC up to Thursday.
To screw everybody up.
For instance, for me, like, I don't work Thursday, so I'll do mine tomorrow when I'm at work. So mine will be done, today, Wednesday.
As we speak.
So if you're coming to my store for FOC stuff, you better get in today.
Yeah.
anywhere else, you need to let them know by tomorrow for DC.
Right. So. Yep.
Most of what was on FOC was really DC. Like, it didn't do me any good to put any posts or anything up because they're only going to be good for one day.
I grabbed the pictures anyway, so we have something to look at on YouTube. And I wanted to see what you were talking about, so I found what I think is the images. Yeah. We don't have a ton of books, but we got some books. We got a couple of cool looking covers, I thought, coming up.
Yeah.
But are you ready? Spoiler free, and this is a tough one. We'll do a little Loki here. spoiler free, because I think we got some stuff to talk about in Kryptonite this week, damn my friend.
Oh, I'm sure we do. I mean, there's always stuff to talk about in Kryptonite, but I don't know, man. I'm a little down again. So.
Oh, no. Why?
I just feel like it's not moving along.
I thought that was a great episode.
What did it do?
It had tons of action. There was tons of reveals.
What did it accomplish? Like, I still don't know what Loki wants.
It didn't cure cancer, but it was a lot of fun.
Like, I don't know what Loki's trying to do.
Right.
Like, this is the 50% mark of this show, and I don't know what the motivation of the main character is. Like, it seems to be just to get an audience with the timekeepers. But,
yep.
Like, for what? You know, like,
remember
what
that
do you think
question
you're
gonna
accomplish?
Yeah, but remember that question when we get to Kryptonite, because I think I can give you, I don't know, my version of an answer.
Okay.
You may not agree with it.
Chances are you won't. We'll see. Again, it's super I'll watch Tom Hiddleston. Like I've said, I'll watch him read the phone book, just about anything. You know, he's great.
He's fantastic.
And it was super fun, right?
Like, yeah.
The episode was great.
I thought it was a great home theater episode. I thought it moved the story along. I thought plenty of action.
That's where I just don't think it did. Like,
really?
I just don't know where we're going. Like,
it's a surprise, like I said, John.
Well, I mean, we're halfway through the show. I should at least know what Loki's trying to do, and I don't really know what he's trying to do.
Right.
So
I have an answer for you.
We'll unpack it more.
We'll unpack it more. Yeah.
But I loved it. My quick impression was that it was an entertaining episode, but I just don't. I want some stuff to start built, like stuff to start happening and having some consequence.
Right.
So we'll talk.
Well, you got three episodes for that. As
we
speak, there's only two left.
True.
As they hear this, I should say. There's only two left. But, I mean, I'm disappointed there's only three left. I mean, we have three more to enjoy, and you're like,
oh, I know. We're halfway. Well, I mean, as of today, we're three quarters of the way done. So.
Yeah. That's too bad. Two-thirds of the way done. Two-thirds. Whatever. 75%. Math is not a strong suit.
66 and a third, 0.6%.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's just numbers, John. Just numbers.
I know.
I'm not going to pay attention to that stuff.
We got two left.
But I will say that last week's, before we get to Kryptonite, last week's, we may have given a little something away and we didn't even know it. We called it, and something happened. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, that was pretty funny. But, all right. You ready to get to some, I don't know, what are we calling it, John? News to chat about, comic news. What's up this week, John?
Stuff we want to talk about.
Stuff. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So that way you don't have to break out Chris Evans on me.
Nope. Oh, I meant to put that in here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
Language.
Hey. Oh. See? I put it in there. You can. Actually, I should have said.
So I could just feel free to say something.
Let's do it. Yeah. Like, hey, John.
Language.
To talk about.
There you go.
All right.
Well, it looks like. This just broke today, actually. Amazon has renewed Good Omens for a second season. So I don't remember if we ever talked about Good Omens. I know I watched.
I never even heard of it until this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's based on, I think it's Neil Gaiman, a Neil Gaiman comic.
Okay.
Good Omens, yeah. So season one was pretty good. It had David Tennant and I can't remember who the other guy was, but... it was a pretty good show. So I didn't think it was going to get a second season based on ending, if I remember correctly. But I guess it did well enough that they're back. So that should be good. You should check that out. Actually, I think you'd probably enjoy it.
How many episodes is that? Do you remember?
Like eight episodes, I think. And, you know, we're a ways away from the second season, so.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of time to.
Plenty of time to get caught up. But, yeah, I think it's eight.
Oh, it's a British comedy?
Episodes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm, well.
But like I said, it was pretty good.
We'll talk about it and check out, but.
Yeah.
I didn't get to take much in this week, but okay.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about The Mandalorian Season 3 not being in production yet a couple weeks ago. So it looks like now we do have the start date for Season 3. Looks like they're going to start in September. So sometime middle of next year, I would imagine, we'll see Season 3.
Yeah. Yeah, start in September. Maybe we see it earlier than next fall.
Yeah, maybe like, could be February, March, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I would say springtime, because what do we have coming? Obi-Wan's probably going to come out first, right?
I would think so, because Obi-Wan
is, that's what's taking the stage right filming. Now. Yeah,
exactly. So it will be done filming right before this gets ready to start. So depending on the production timelines and things like that, we probably get Obi-Wan and then this. So, I mean, they could hold it off all the way till November again.
It just could, so we have something. Because, well, we're also going to get Book of Boba?
Well, but that's supposed to be in December, I thought.
Right? And then I was thinking they would roll from that into Obi-Wan, and then from Obi-Wan into this. So that would put it at the earliest, I would say, late spring, judging by the way they pace these things out.
Well, I would think Obi-Wan could be like a February, March thing.
Right.
And then Mandalorian would be fall, I'm guessing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
You know, we'll see. All will be revealed to us. I'm sure.
All will be revealed. But, boy.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
As time moves on, all will be revealed.
All will be revealed, my son. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. all right, this came as news, too. I mean, it's all news, but I mean, this came as a bit of a surprise. Looks like Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum are developing an animated Smallville series. I think that's fantastic. Now, developing doesn't mean reprising their roles, fortunately.
No.
So we're not sure if they are going to do that or not. And, you know, again, early – this is just in the development stages, so there's no – information, but like I don't even know where the story for this would be, because like Smallville ran for a long time and ended at 10 seasons, I believe, right?
Was it 10? Been more than that, yeah.
And it ended with, you know, Clark becoming Superman and moving to Metropolis. So unless this is picking that story up from that point, but then it's not Smallville anymore. You know, it's Metropolis. And if it's just more Smallville stuff, what more is there to tell? They told 10 years worth of story. So like I'm not unhappy to get this, but I'm just really curious, like, what stories this is going to tell.
Right.
Because like, I feel like Smallville was told, like, they had 10 years to tell that story. And if it's a sequel, it's not Smallville anymore. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Exactly. They're all grown up. It's called, I think at that point, isn't it, if I remember correct, called Superman.
I think so. And there's been one or two shows. There's even one currently on the CW.
I know.
Which I guess is a sequel to Smallville all on its, although they're back in Smallville. So, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little behind on that. I'm a few episodes behind on that, but that's a really good series. We haven't talked about it.
I'm actually caught up. Well, I'm caught up. I'm caught up until last week, but
yeah,
I really like it. It is actually currently the only CW series I'm watching. I have pulled the plug on all the others. So, I haven't watched Flash in 6 or 7 weeks, probably, at least.
Yeah, I'm the same way on that. I'm still going with I'm still going with Batwoman, but I am behind on that too. But I do want to finish the season. Just some decent news with that.
I pulled the plug on all.
Yeah, you didn't even start that season, right?
Well, Batwoman, no. I didn't start it at all. I haven't watched, like I said, Supergirl or Flash since probably the third or fourth episode. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just really down on all of those shows right now. But Superman and Lois has been fantastic. It is like really setting the bar for what these shows could be.
Yep.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really good.
All right. You ready to move on to the next one here?
Yeah. So,
well, I don't even know what it is. What do we got? Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So, Jensen and Danielle Ackles are developing a supernatural prequel series called The Winchesters. Jensen Ackles, of course, was Dean Winchester for 15 seasons. And Jared Padalecki, who played Sam Winchester for 15 seasons, is gutted because he had to find out about this on Twitter.
So, oh, wow.
There was a big, like, one day Twitter beef, I guess, with the Supernatural boys. That has since been resumed or resolved, and all is good.
Did they not get along, or was it just an oversight or something?
Well, no, they're like super close best friends.
Oh, really?
Brothers. You know, they are very, very tight. And yet Jensen did not really. I mean, I guess according to Jared Padalecki, there was no mention of him. Or no mention to him at all that this was even a thing. He found out about it on Twitter when the news broke, and was understandably a little upset by that. You know, basically said, "Hey, dude, I'm happy for you. Wish I had heard about this somewhere other than Twitter."
Right.
Super sad that Sam Winchester wasn't part of the development of this series.
Yeah.
You know. But in any case, this is a prequel series that will take place well before the events of Sam and Dean, focusing primarily on the parents, John and Mary Winchester. So, again, this is in the very, very early stages, and, you know, no word on when this is going to happen.
I assume you watched all 15 seasons of that?
I did. I watched every episode. Never
did
missed
you?
One.
Wow.
Yep.
Never saw it.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, I mean, again, it's 15 years, so it had definite ups and downs, and some really good seasons, and then multiple not so good seasons.
But
it was just one of those things where, like, I was just so invested after so many seasons that you just kind of keep going, you know, just to see where it goes. All in all, like, whether I'm on board for the Winchester series remains to be seen, but I did watch all of Supernatural.
Hey, I just checked the radar. I have serious thunder and lightning coming over me right now. So, if I go anywhere,
anywhere, I guess I'll know why.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on all battery backup here, so we should be good.
Should be good.
Should be good. Maybe the whole house will go out, and we'll still be going. I don't know.
That's it. You'll be the beacon of light under the stairs.
That curtain behind me. There's no house behind it.
Right.
It's like Twister back there.
Yeah. It's just me and my microphone.
I'm in the studio under the stairs.
Yeah.
Safe.
The studio of justice.
Where's my dinner? Where's my house?
Yeah.
All right. What are we moving on here? Oh, here we go. J.J. Okay. Abrams.
Yeah. Moving on. Looks like J.J. Abrams is developing a Madame Xanadu series for HBO Max. This would fall in line with kind of like the dark Justice League dark universe that it keeps being rumored that he wants to do on HBO Max. So this might be the first step towards that. Although we do know that there is a Zatanna movie in the works as well. I don't remember if he was attached to that or not, but looks like HBO Max is all in on the Justice League Dark universe, and Madame Xanadu definitely takes place there. So, interesting. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, she's not my first choice of characters that I would want to see.
I know who you want.
Well,
that's going to come up later.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
In Robin? You never got back to me on that, did you?
I did read it though. Yeah, well,
we'll
talk about it. Okay. yes, right. We never did.
Yeah,
talk about it.
But That's what we're here for now.
I know, yeah. That's right. We'll talk about it now. We'll air our dirty laundry in front of everybody.
Don't we always?
I know. Okay. Laurie Holden from Walking Dead looks like has joined the cast of The Boys Season 3. So,
any idea of a character?
I do. They announced it later in the week, but I couldn't find it today when I was looking for it. But it's like Crimson something or other. I don't know the boys' characters all that well, so I wouldn't even know who it is. But it's the Crimson something.
Yeah.
So boys fans will know, I guess,
right.
who she is. But Laurie Holden, I liked her, you know, everything I've seen her in, she's been good. So it should be good.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that anyway.
And then this last one, again, is a bit of a head scratcher.
This is, yeah. Even I know why this is a head scratcher, and I haven't finished it.
Yeah, if you've watched this at all. But yeah. It looks like John Lithgow is returning as the Trinity Killer for the Dexter reboot series.
Right.
Fans of the original series might remember that Dexter killed the Trinity Killer at the end of season 3. But
so,
you know, this
does he
could
have
be
a twin
flashbacks.
Brother?
Well, this could be flashbacks. This could, you know, Dexter is also known for talking to like dead people, talking
True.
To his victims, things like that. So it could be any number of ways that this would happen. But yeah, I scratched my head a little bit when I saw that because I was like, I haven't seen Dexter in a long time, but I'm pretty sure John Lithgow didn't make it out of season 3.
No.
But once again, widely regarded by most as the best season of the show was season 3.
Yeah.
So
actually, I did see that. See, that was a long time ago, though. Because we got on, we're up to like 5, I think, something like that.
Okay.
We
I know you were kind of going, you were kind of going through
but
it.
We had done that one right at the beginning. So, yeah, right. I definitely knew that story. But
like I said, I'm happy to see it because I like John Lithgow, of course.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought that was a great season and a great character. So it'd be just interesting to see how they make that happen.
Yep. Yep. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
all right.
I have for news.
That sounds good. Okay. I don't have a lot of energy today, John. I'm beat.
I hear. I could see. It's all right.
I'm like, all right, can we get to the next one? I'm sorry.
Well, we can.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. Black Cat Annual 2021. Looks like there's a 1 in 25 Liam Sharp incentive cover that's going for a bit over ratio at $35 to $40. Black Cat, I'm sorry, Black Knight versus the Ebony Blade, number 4, yep. has also 1 in 25 Hans incentive variant that's selling for between $30 and $40. There have been a couple of lower price listings on this on eBay, though, so check your prices before you jump on this one if you see it. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Tea Time number 1. There's a 1 in 20, I'm sorry, a 1 in, man, I'm off today. I keep making mistakes.
Must be me.
1 in 10 Sweeney Boo variant. Sweeney Boo I think is supposed to be the next Peach Momoko, so we'll see.
Oh no.
I hope not because I just don't want to have to keep saying Sweeney Boo.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a YouTube.
Well, Peach comes up again
star.
Later, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't see it, but okay.
But yeah, there's that cover there. Looks like it's selling at about $20. Now that's not super crazy considering it's an $8 cover price book to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much selling right at where it should be. And then there's an unlockable one per store, which is just a virgin variant of that 1 in 10 cover. Couldn't find any sales on this one, though.
What
so,
does unlockable mean?
Just means basically as a retailer, if you order any copies of the issue, you can order one of these.
Oh, okay.
So the only – it's basically a ratio variant, but the only criteria is that you have ordered some other amount of the main book.
Okay.
you can't just go in and order this all by itself and nothing else.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's something
Boom
has
I see it all the time.
Well, Boom has actually just started doing that within the last 2 or 3 months, I would say. It's something that they've started doing on almost every title they have now, to the point where they're not even that desirable anymore. I mean, there's still just one per store, so it's not like there's a million of them out there. But when you do a thing like every month for every title,
right,
even if there's
luster.
Only one of them, it's just kind of it's just not that special anymore. So these aren't really, like, for me at least, they're not selling. I'm marking most of them at $10, $12, and they're just sitting. Nobody's buying them. So
right,
we'll see.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Okay, Power Rangers Unlimited Edge of Darkness, issue number one. This is the first appearance of the Phantom Ranger. The big book here is the 1 in 50 by Derek Chu, sold out at $180.
It's a nice cover.
And, well, Derek Chu does some really nice covers. We talk about him a lot. He's on Harley right now. And the only other current listings for this book on eBay are between $250 and $300. So definitely a really hot book there. Mm. This one here, the one per store unlockable variant, is selling for about $40. So that one's doing a lot better than most. But I priced mine at $20, so we'll see if I even sell it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Shang-Chi number two, first appearance of Lady Iron Fan. This has another pretty hot 1 in 50 variant that's selling for around $80.
Can you hear that thunder? If you can't, it had gone while you were talking. I'm like, holy.
It was loud,
The house around me shaking. It's
the house shook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We had some pretty good thunder over the weekend. It was shaking the house quite a bit.
Yeah.
So. All right. Star Wars High Republic number 6 has a 1 in 25 Peach Momoko variant cover.
There you go.
A little bit over ratio at $30 to $35.
I don't see the fascination here.
I don't eat. Well, again, it's a style that appeal, you know, it's kind of like the Japanese watercolor style that, this definitely has its fans. But the problem is, it's just, again, you know, you talk about losing your luster. It's like Peach Momoko is just, to me, is so oversaturated now.
That's what I mean.
It would have to be like a really phenomenal standout cover at this point to even be talked about, as far as I'm concerned, because they're just,
everywhere.
At this point, a dime a dozen. Yeah, they're you can get them anywhere.
It's weird.
Maybe Sweeney Boo will be the same next year. We'll be saying the same thing. So, okay, Star Wars Insider number 203. This is actually the Star Wars magazine, but they did an FOC variant cover. This month it features Ahsoka Tano, and it's selling for between $12 and $20. Again, bear in mind that this is like I think $12 or $10, $11
magazine.
Cover price magazine to start
with.
Yeah, so it's not like it's $12 would pretty much just be cover price.
Right.
But yeah, still, that's the one that people are looking for, is the Ahsoka Tano cover. Marvel's number 3 has a 1 in 25 variant. Again, this one's all over the place. Sales as low as $15 all the way up to almost $50. So this is one I definitely would keep my eye on if you're looking to purchase one.
That's a cool cover too.
Yeah, but make sure you don't overpay too much for this one.
Okay.
And then last but not least, this is from Black Mask Comics. It's called White Number 1. So this book was heavily, heavily allocated by the publisher, even though we all put our numbers in at FOC like we're supposed to. Every retailer was limited to 2 copies of this. So it doesn't matter how many you ordered and how big you are, you get allocated to two copies. So, of course, when you do things like that, it creates some demand.
Right.
Several copies sold today on eBay for between $30 and $50. somebody, some crazy guy's got one listed for $1,000.
Hey, if he gets it, good for him.
Near that, but well, if he gets it, I'm putting mine, you know,
yeah,
putting my extra up.
Put it up for $950. You know,
yeah, this is
undercut
just
cut him.
One of those things where a retailer, I mean, not a retailer, but a publisher has created false demand for
right
a book that probably wouldn't have seen much interest if it wasn't for this. But yeah, so that's the one to – that is definitely the book to look for tomorrow or today. But again, expect him to be really hard to get and gone fast because it's a Cooper store. So
Dr. Joe be racing me into the store.
I know, because he told me you ripped some comic right out of his cold, dead hands.
Actually, I don't think I ripped it. I think he gave it to me
a week or two ago that he really wanted. Yeah. But, you know, we had to, you had to read it for our show, and that really is the most important thing.
That is the most important thing, right?
I understand where you're coming from there, but
yeah,
he was really disappointed that he didn't get to read whatever that book was, because I can't remember what it was.
I went for the leg, John. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg, take the book.
Yeah.
You know. So. Eagle Fang.
Now, we're going to try to talk about this book next week, too, but I don't know that either one of us will get our hands on a copy.
Get a copy? I know. I know. I saw that's in for next week, and I'm like, how am I? I got to. All right.
It may not make the
Newberry Rumble.
We may have to find something else. It was one of those things where it was just one of the few number ones that were coming out, but we may or may not be able to talk. but in any case, we'll try. We will make every effort. We will. Yeah.
Yep.
We will.
So, all right, here we go, John. Your favorite time of week. It's the only reason you do the podcast anymore.
I know. Just for this.
Let's get the back issue bonus. Dive in, John.
All right.
Injustice. You'll have to tune in on YouTube to see whatever the hell that was. Olympics are coming.
They are. They are. There's still an outside chance that I might make it, so I have to practice my diving.
Well, hey, Greg Louganis hit his head on the board. Why not you?
Exactly. I'll hit every board on the way down, too, so. I'll bounce off the side of the pool, break my back, you know. It won't be pretty. They'll give me a perfect 10 just for how bad I was on the way down.
Yeah, we're giving them a 10 out of 100.
Yeah. Has anybody gotten a perfect zero? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm aiming for. All right.
Cannonball.
Anyway, Injustice Year 3, Issue 7.
Oh, man.
This is the first appearance of Lara Lane Kent. The speculation that she might show up in the Flash movie. So that has bumped this book up to between $30 and $40.
All right.
Next, we have Marvel Boy, number 1. This is the first appearance of Novar. That's up to about $40. Once again, I'm not sure the significance of that, but probably we'll know by next week.
Yeah.
because something we talked about last week came up this week in something else that I watched. So.
Oh, and something else we watched? Okay.
Yeah, and something. I can't remember. You know, I'm just speaking in generalities.
Right, right.
Usually I say these things, and by the time the next week rolls around, that character has showed up somewhere, and we figured out what it was for.
Yep.
Okay, Journey into Mystery, number 103. This is the first appearance of the Enchantress. Raw copies of this are selling for about $400. CGC 4.5 sold last week or so for about $800. So, I mean, Journey into Mystery 103, this is, you know, early in the run, you know, 1964 or so. So, I mean, this is an old key book. It's always been a key book anyways, but obviously being spurned on a little bit by Loki.
Yeah. Of course.
Next is Tales to Astonish, number 90. This is the first appearance of the Abomination. A raw, very good copy of this sold recently for about $300. Again, this one should continue to rise. Abomination appears to have appeared in the new Shang-Chi trailer. There is no confirmation that that's who it is, but
yeah.
heavy speculation says that that's who it is. Next is Doorway to Nightmare, issue number one. This is the first appearance of Madame Xanadu. So we just talked about that a little while back. This is now selling for between $80 and $100. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Star Wars Darth Vader, number 22. This is from the 2017, so I think this is the second Darth Vader series. This is the first appearance of Lord Momen and Lady Shaw, selling for about $50. Might have something to do with the Inquisitor series that we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
And that is it for back issue bonus.
Cool. All right. Before we move on to FOC, I was at my buddy's house for his 50th birthday party. The one I told you about a while ago, he plays goalie for my team. And he's the one that has the comic book collection that he's had since he was a kid. And he took me into his walk-in closet with that, with all the
his
books
comic
in
collection.
It. Yeah, and he's showed me. I can't remember. I have pictures. I'm gonna have to send you some of the pictures, and then maybe we could talk about them. But he's like, he's gonna send me an Excel spreadsheet in August because the new book that he uses that comes out with the
Overstreet.
Price. Yep. He said it's coming out in August. He's going to send me an updated list, and we can talk about that stuff and all the books he has. But there was one book he showed me.
Awesome.
He's got a. It's graded and everything. He goes, that book right there, $45,000.
Oh, wow.
I was like, are you kidding? I'm like, it's insane. It's insane. He's got full Daredevil run. I told you that before. We were talking about Moon Knight a lot because the books are going up right now, and he's got that full run. But yeah, he's, and all of these are like, just like he bought them. He did, you know, he still buys like 12 books a year. He said he'll seek out a few here and there, but yeah, it was, I didn't have time to get you the pictures and we could talk about them in here and some of the stuff that I took pictures of, but yeah, it was pretty cool to see. Insane.
Awesome.
Yep. So, all right. You ready to get to FOC?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, most of FOC this week is from DC, and the DC FOC is due for most people tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're interested in any of this, definitely get into your stores by Thursday because, you know, by the weekend, which is the normal time, it'll be too late to get the orders in. But that being said, there are some cool covers and things from DC. So the first one is Batman Secret Files Huntress. This is another one shot. Although at this point, I feel like it should be pointed out that Batman Secret Files seems to be like an ongoing thing. It's just a series of one shots.
Yeah, they're all one shot stories. It's a file that he has on something.
But Batman Secret Files is actually an ongoing thing at this point. The Huntress one shot has a variant cover by Ricardo Federighi, which I really liked quite a bit.
Is that the one where it's realistic? It looks.
Yes.
Yes. It's awesome.
Well, I don't know which one you're showing because the main cover is also, I just have it listed under new series. But the main cover for this is actually pretty awesome as well. Both of them are great. I actually, if I had to, I think I lean more towards just the regular A cover for this. But either one of them are really, really cool covers. And for those that are reading Detective right now, Batman and Huntress have been teamed up for couple of issues working on a story, so I have a feeling that will tie in with this somehow. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm looking it up to see which one has which Huntress Secret File. Yeah, maybe that's, is that the number one? I'm just trying to see which one I have up there. Oh, okay. No, I have the regular one up there, and then
That one's actually pretty nice as well.
Yeah, I do like that one better. I actually like that one better than
the Federici variant. Is nice. It's kind of like a Libramejo variant almost.
Okay.
You know.
All right. The one I have up is the 1-in-25 cardstock variant by TKTK. Do you know what that is? Who TKTK? No. That's what it says. I'm on leagueofcomicgeeksrightnow.com, and the one I put up, it's the 1-in-25 cardstock variant, which basically looks like the virgin version of the main cover.
Of the main cover.
Right. Yeah. So you're just basically getting the artwork with smaller title right. above. Yeah. It's really nice, though. But yeah, that one's
sure
nice.
I'm not sure what TKTK is, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I like, I think I lean towards just the regular main cover there. But,
yeah, yeah.
But anyways, the other variant cover is for Teen Titans Academy, number 5. There's a Philip Tan variant that mm-hmm. is actually pretty cool as well.
That's a nice cover, yep.
Yeah. For new series, of course, I relisted the Secret Files Huntress one-shot. And then we have Icon and Rocket Season 1, number 1 of 6. There's multiple covers here. This is part of the Milestone imprint that they're relaunching at DC. Next is, I think, a Black Label book. It's Suicide Squad Get Joker, issue number 1 of 3 with multiple covers. Okay. And then Superman Son of Kal-El, number 1 with multiple covers. Yeah, we think we've mentioned this before, but the regular Superman title is coming to an end. John Kent is taking over as Superman in the main title, and that's what this book is. So, should be interesting.
Yep.
And that is it from DC.
All right.
From Image Comics, we have Mirka Andolfo's Sweet Paprika, issue number 1. Mm. This had multiple covers. Almost Dynamite level covers for this. So when I say multiple, I mean like a lot.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And then from Marvel, almost nothing. There was like hardly any variant. Well, there were really no variant covers that were worth talking about. Most of them weren't even available.
Right.
And the only new series is Symbiote Spider-Man Crossroads. This is number 1, and it's going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There's multiple covers for that.
That's kind of a cool cover, the one that I pulled up. It's got a lot of detail to it.
I've liked that series, the Symbiote Spider-Man series. I've liked it in the last couple of minis that they've done, so this one should be pretty good as well. This is kind of gotten like it's getting like the Maestro treatment, where it's just a series of minis instead of an ongoing title.
Yeah.
they just keep doing these like 5-issue mini series that build off of, you know, each one of them is building off the last one. So
right.
And all right, and then finally from Vault, and I think this must be re-FOC'd because I know we've talked about this book before, but it's called The Last Book You'll Ever Read.
Kind of ironic.
Number 1. Yeah.
We keep talking about the last book.
Because it's issue 1, and it's the first and last issue, I guess, right? Because if it's the last book I'll ever read, there won't be a number 2. I don't know.
I don't know. Apparently you die at the end of it.
Yeah.
You die.
It's like the Ring. The book goes on. You know, yeah, it's like The Ring. When you read it, you have 7 days, and you die.
Man, depressing. Yeah.
The little girl's going to crawl out of the comic book. And
Yeah.
All right. And then last. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was it. That was the last.
Yeah. That was
the last book you'll ever read. You should have put that at the beginning. Would have made this a lot shorter.
You're right. It would have. And then so we don't forget our coming next week books that we plan to read.
Oh, you're doing that now.
Yeah. Let's just do that now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, does that throw off your.
No.
Does that throw off your images?
John, I can roll with the punches. We're looking forward to Parasomnia. I can jump around with you.
Parasomnia, issue number 1.
Yeah.
And then the aforementioned White, number 1.
The aforementioned
TBD.
White. Yeah.
that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
But if not, we'll find something else to read.
Yeah.
But those are the two books I'm planning to talk about next week.
Look at that. And then, I mean, John, we didn't even rehearse that, and it went off without a hitch. It's a good thing we don't have music for that. That's a good thing. Otherwise, we would have been porked.
I just don't know where that's supposed to be in the show, because it's always an afterthought. So
yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. It's an afterthought. It's what's coming next week. But all right. Are you ready to get to check out, or would you like to talk about something else? How about home theater, John? I got Sounders for home theater.
I think I'm ready to check out.
Okay, let's check out then. All right, I read both of these. I haven't decided yet.
All right.
I need a little help with this first one.
I'll help you decide, I guess. first book we're going to talk about is from Boom Studios. It's called Good Luck, issue number one. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. Well, you did now. what is that for? The crickets?
Yeah.
Okay, that's our checkout sound?
No.
Crickets. That's our checkout sounder?
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to check out crickets.
Anyway. Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is being written by Matthew Ehrman. It has art by Stefano Simeone, cover art by George Corona and Gerald Perel. So this was interesting. it starts out in this town.
Yeah.
And the town gets descended upon by the physical manifestations of basically good luck and bad luck.
Yeah,
the gods of luck, right?
Right.
And at one point, the god of good luck and the god of bad luck touch fingers, and it creates this like they had a name for it, and I can't remember what it was. I should have wrote it down, but it basically puts the town in a like another dimension, let's say, or it covers
something.
Is that
what it is?
I don't really know. Like it's kind of inaccessible by the rest of the world. It's ground zero. You know, like this is where this meeting of good and bad luck took place.
Yeah.
But so this happens, and then we fast forward a bunch of years.
30.
And and since this has happened, luck has become a quantifiable thing in everybody's
lives. It's like air.
Right.
It feels like, well – they literally think of it like air because their helmets are leaking luck.
Right.
But I thought they didn't have any.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So people are born, obviously, with varying degrees of luck. Some with incredibly good luck, some with incredibly bad luck or no luck at all. And the people with no luck are called the unfortunates. And they are
funny. That's what we call them
being
too.
Tasked, right? but they are being tasked, and I assume because they're expendable, to train to find a way to breach this town. They want to get back in and try to save the people that are in it, and you know, find out what's been going on for the past 30 years. So that's what we have. We have a cast of characters that have zero luck. They have been training every single day for some number of years to try to breach. I wish I could remember what they called it. It's not the paradox, but it's something like that. But anyway, they're trying to breach, and you know, they get a new member of their team, and all of a sudden they succeed in their testing, and they're now set for their mission to breach and go in. I didn't like it. I'll be honest with you.
I thought it was way too confusing, but not. I don't know.
I didn't really like it.
I didn't like it either. I mean, I followed it.
That this wasn't. I understood it. Like, it wasn't one of those books where, like, I was completely lost and I just didn't
that's the thing.
I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I don't mean
hard
this,
to.
It wasn't hard to follow, but even the characters were like, I'm confused because
they didn't know what was going on.
They're like, how can he be the one? He's got no luck, but he got to do something we couldn't do for 7 years. Doesn't that make him lucky? But nobody actually just said that. And I'm like, I don't get, And it the sad thing is I thought they executed everything they wanted to do in writing this book, but it just didn't do enough to make me want to go to the second book. Like, I really don't even, they were so busy trying to explain what luck is and no luck and this, and trying to do it without actually explaining it, trying to demonstrate it, that you really didn't, I didn't care at the end.
Yeah, I didn't care. That's the whole thing. I didn't care. And I kind of agreed with what they're saying too, is like, if you need something done, why are you picking the people with the worst chance of success?
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you find the luckiest people in the world, you know,
right,
and try to get them to succeed? Because it seems like if you wanted to do something, that's what you would do.
So, right.
I don't know. This wasn't for me. This was kind of a rare miss from Boom. You know, it just wasn't, I just didn't think it was very good.
But yeah, it was.
I don't think I'll be back. Well, I'm sure I won't be back for it, honestly.
No. It's too bad.
And I didn't love the art either.
It was colorful.
To be honest with you. It was colorful, but Stefano Simeone is the same artist that did Mega Man Fully Charged, which was another book that we only read like the first issue of and didn't really dig either. But I didn't like his art there, and I didn't really like it here either.
Yeah, so, it wasn't. Yeah, it was colorful. It didn't distract. I was distracted anyways. It was like I said, it's hard to say that it was confusing because I understood exactly what they were doing. I just don't understand why. Like the writer, like, I don't get what you were going for here. Cause if he's going for a theme or it's supposed to be analogous to something. I don't know. Cause it didn't strike me very well.
Yeah. So. And me either. It didn't grab me at all.
So there you go. That's why.
Yep.
All right.
And then, the second book. Yeah, the second book I read was from Image Comics, Spawn Universe number 1, written by Todd McFarlane and Various, and it had art by Jim Chung and Various, cover art by J. Scott Campbell and Various. There was multiple covers, and there was multiple stories here in this book. Now,
I got this cover.
To be fair, it was one main story. Like, really, 80% of this book was one story.
Was one story, and then it jumped to a
bunch. There was a couple
a
of, like... Yeah, there was like three kind of like short stories at the end. There were like 3 to 4 pages, maybe 3 pages each. You had
something
like
that,
Gunslinger story, She Spawn, and Medieval Spawn, I think were the three. We've talked about this before. This was the book that was setting up the new Spawn universe.
Yeah.
There are going to be 3 more titles spinning out of this book that will make up Spawn Universe, and they will kind of be released throughout the remainder of this year. So we're getting a Gunslinger Spawn monthly series. We're getting a King Spawn monthly series. And then there's – I can't remember what the name of the fourth one is. But those will all take place alongside the main Spawn storyline. I didn't like or dislike this, and the reason why is because I'm not really a Spawn reader right now. So, the Scorched. You're right. Yes. I didn't know exactly what was happening here. Like, I'm not up on the Spawn storyline, so I feel like there was things that happened even prior to this book that I wasn't really aware of, and so. It's not that I necessarily, like I said, didn't like the book, but I didn't really know everything that was going on. And just reading this book alone, I couldn't really piece it all together. But I think it did what it was supposed to do, which was really introduce us to the new Spawn, you know, the Gunslinger Spawn. It set up the new the new bad guy, Cagliostro, who's been kind of like the one of the main villains for Spawn since the very beginning. I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Okay.
Has been set up as I think it was Sin is what he's calling himself now. But he was kind of been reborn into another villain figure that I guess, will play a part in the stories going forward. But this was a stage setter for what's to come.
I love sage.
Stage setter. I like those too. Yeah. But I think this did what it needed to do. But I was a little bit lost because I'm not up on Spawn right now. But I wanted to read this to see what was coming. And, you know, Gunslinger Spawn seems like a cool character.
Yeah.
You know, you get his little short story origin at the end, which, you know, seems like a cool character. So all in all, I think if you're, for me at least, if you're a Spawn reader, you know, this did its job. And, you know, it did what it needed to do. I don't know. Like, I've been on again, off again with Spawn for years. You know, I kind of get in and I read it for a little while, and then I fall off of it because as much as I think the character is really cool, I just don't always love the book. So, I'll be on for Gunslinger. I'll read it. I'll read King Spawn and, you know, give all of them a chance. But I think this
was interesting.
Nothing remarkable. But it just did what it needed. It was supposed to do, which is set the stage for
the rest
of the books.
I liked it.
Yeah.
So I felt like I'm not big in. I have never been big into Spawn. I like the movies. I've enjoyed them, but I've never really read Spawn. I'm familiar with the character, and that's about it. And I agree with you that this is doing its job. If like you're a huge Spawn fan, this is probably like, okay, yeah, they're giving you more here. And there was a lot of callbacks. I mean, even one of them was to Spawn 100, so that's going way back. And you're like, okay, there's a lot to unpack. But at the same time, I really love the artwork throughout this.
Yes.
And I was just like, the colors, the art, the drawing, I mean, the way the art, I thought, flowed. Like, some you had more detailed panels and then other panels that weren't detailed at all, but you could move along. That meant, like, just move along from here, you know? It's like, I thought it, I just really enjoyed it, and it made me want to, like, I want to know more. Like, it made me want to go back and watch the movies. It made me want to have, you know, I just wanted to get more into the Spawn's universe. I was like, oh, maybe I'll actually go back and read a couple of those that they mentioned, like Spawn 100 or something. And I did. I can't say that I loved it, but at the same time, it's like, while I was reading this, stuff's popping up on my phone for work, stuff's popping up for Mass Hockey, whatever, and I'm getting aggravated with the people bothering me. So that's a good sign about the book, because I'm like, leave me alone, I'm reading. It's like, so I this isn't like couple weeks ago or anything like that. It's not the best book of the year, but I did enjoy it.
No.
I really enjoyed it. And as a matter of fact, I'm like subscribed to it now. I want to keep going with these books. And I'm looking forward to the Gunslinger and more of all of this stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I'm definitely gonna start with King Spawn and Gunslinger. I'll read all the number ones and
see where
they're gonna go. I don't know that, you know, like I said, the main Spawn title, you know, sometimes I'm in and sometimes I'm not. Like, I pick up one randomly and I'll read it and go on for a couple of months and then I stop. So we'll see how that goes. But overall, I think it was fine. You know, it was, I think it was good. Obviously, it was decent for new readers because you're the definition of a new reader when it comes to Spawn.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, it did its job to get you excited, and it's got me excited for, like I said, for these new books to come out. So
let me ask you one thing though. It's a little spoiler, but not really. That poor guy on the ship. Great. I thought that was a great way to, it really just sucked me into the story.
Yeah.
The guy on the ship. And then next thing you know, it's like gone. And it's like talking to his family. And I was like, oh man, what a, that, I thought that,
like,
was
I instantly knew that I'd never see my family again or something like that.
Yeah, when he stepped
and then,
outside.
Yeah,
and
then you get that, like,
but I want to know more on what that was.
Like,
that would, like,
yeah,
on what that
was.
Because that's setting up, like,
this,
a rebirth or whatever, yeah. I think.
The ship was just in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing. Yeah, like, and
but I thought that was some really cool writing because they didn't have to do that. They could have just, you know, I just thought that was really cool. So I said, I really enjoyed it. So I know it wasn't your favorite book, but I guess it's your favorite book of the week, right? So are you comfortable with the show title?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's,
all right.
It's
so Spawn Universe number
better
one.
Than Good Luck. Yeah.
Oh, I think yeah.
So. Definitely better.
All right. Spawn Universe number one it is. All right. What else did you? Oh, let's get. Do you want? Or let's save Robin for last. What else did you get to this week? Anything good?
Well, I read Shadecraft number four. And,
oh, okay.
I love that series. I've really been liking that a lot. I think this issue did a lot to move things forward. You know, I guess
I didn't read.
I don't
that.
Know if you've read it. Oh, no. Okay. I don't know if you've read it, so I don't want to. I guess necessarily spoil anything for you, but
no, I haven't gotten that yet.
It definitely does. It does a lot to move the story forward and give some more explanation on, you know, the background of where those powers came from for her.
Okay.
So I thought that was really good. And then the other major, my major read for this week was Sweet Tooth. I read basically the last five. I read all of it. I'm done with Sweet Tooth. I read the last five graphic novels this week.
Oh, jeez.
Finished that up last night. Now, I haven't read Sweet Tooth The Return yet, which is the new one that just came out this year. I am going to read that. But having read all of Sweet Tooth, I am now a little disappointed in the show.
Like Dr.
Fair.
Joe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't after the first book. I was still kind of, you know, okay, well, this is this and that is that. And,
right.
You know, I like this for this and I like this for that. But after having read the whole story now, which is, like, great. It is really a great read. And it just – I'm just puzzled to why – they couldn't follow the story that was laid out. Like,
right.
I don't know why they make the changes that they do. Like, I understand why you kind of pretty up the kids, you know, for lack of a better term, you know,
right?
Because, you know, you're trying to appeal to an audience, a wider audience. And so I understand making the kids cuter on the show than they were in the book. Like, for instance, it took me three graphic novels to figure out that the cute little gopher kid in the show was the Bucktooth thing in the book.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize that it was the same character for like three graphic novels until I was like, oh, that's the one from the show. But yeah, I don't know. It was so deep and so good and so moving in a lot of places. Like, this story was so good, and there's no good reason to have made some of the changes that they made. There's just no reason to do it.
I have nothing to – I can't argue with you because I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen the show enough to set to – and or read it, so –
I don't know. I'm going to have a hard time going back and watching season two now.
Is it possible that the book's too dark? That's one thing that I heard.
Well, the book is dark. It is definitely dark. But, you know, it's like you're not showing this on PBS, you know? Like, the show isn't aimed at kids, even on Netflix, you know? I mean, it can be a family show, but it's not like it's made for children, so... You can go as dark as you want on Netflix too.
Right.
You know, they just changed some of the characters so fundamentally that I don't know why they did what they did. So, you know, not to beat a dead horse or hash up that, but I just now feel like I wanted the show to be different. I wanted more out of the show. You know, whether they come back with season two and season three and do whatever they do. But I feel like they've already diverged to a point where they can't go back.
There's no
and do things differently.
Redeeming it now. It's like, how do you make season one a dream sequence?
Yeah, yeah. You just can't go back and change things.
Right.
Because, like I said, Big Man or Jeopard or whatever you want to call him, he is so different in the book and the show. And based on what happened in the show, you just can't go back and undo it. Like, you just
right.
can't change things now. So, yeah. That being said, read the book. It's fantastic. It's like 40 issues. It's not like incredibly long, you know, long read. You know, it'll take you a little bit of time, but it's well worth it. It's yeah. really a good read. So
read the book. Don't watch the show.
Watch the show first.
Right.
Like, you know.
Otherwise, you'll be really
again.
Aggravated.
If I was in Dr. Joe's shoes, having read 2/3 of the story already or whatever before the show came out,
right.
I'd be right there with him. I'd be like, you know what? This isn't Sweet Tooth. I don't really dig it either. I still, since I've watched it first, I can kind of.
You enjoyed see
it for what it is.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. But now I'm a little bit wanting more, like wanting different. And
yeah.
It's not gonna happen. But yeah.
All right.
That, like I said, read the book though. It's awesome. Yeah.
All right. Did you happen really to read good. Vinyl? From
no,
Image?
I didn't get to Vinyl. No, I didn't.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's a little weird, a lot weird, kind of a horror type. You don't like they bring you in and then they go, you know, 2 weeks earlier or whatever they do.
Right.
You know, there's a time shift. I don't know where it's going, but I'm kind of interested. It was pretty good.
Okay.
It was like an FBI
yeah.
agent and things go bad. And now you're not sure. You thought he was serial killer, but it's not. There's more to it. And I mean, they did a lot of things. This is what we should have probably read instead of Good Luck, number one.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. I know. I enjoyed it though. Check that out. Maybe we'll talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah,
next
well,
week.
It's on my to. It's definitely yeah. on my to read list. I saw it last week, but you know, picked the wrong. We bet on the wrong horse, DJ. That's all.
Hey, you know.
So, sometimes it happens.
Can't win them all, John.
Nope.
Just one would be nice. But, how about?
Well, yeah, winning once would be good, but
yeah. But we're good losers.
That's right.
Hey, did you read Batman Reptilian?
I did, yes.
What'd you think of that?
I think that overall it was mediocre, honestly.
Really?
But it had my favorite description of Batman that I've ever read.
Yeah, I saw you put that out.
In any comic book.
Yeah.
And for me, that alone was worth the price of admission. Like, I would read that book just for that. Two panels.
Yeah.
Because I think they were that awesome. But I thought the book was just
really
okay.
I
yeah,
really enjoyed
I mean,
it.
I think it's, you know, I like the art. I like the art in it.
You know what the art reminded
painted,
me of?
Painted art style, which
yeah.
was really cool.
Batman Damned. It was a little bit more colorful than that.
yeah.
Especially
well,
the
and
Joker
Batman Damned was a little
and...
bit more detail, like realistic.
Yeah, it was a bigger
you
book
know, because Libra,
yeah.
yeah, Libra Mayo has a different style, but it was
right.
painted like that, and
yep.
it had a yeah. I can see the similar feel for sure.
Yeah, but you like even the story you didn't like. I kind of like that. It gives you that detective mystery feel. No,
well, it's definitely a detective a mystery story. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely on board. I'm going to keep reading it and see where it goes. But again, I just found it fair. you
really?
Know? Yeah.
I liked it a little bit more than fair. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
I'm like really looking because that's some of the stuff we've been looking for in a Batman story is that detective feel and that mystery. And is he going to how is he going to figure this out and everything?
Well, for me. I want to see that more we get that in the books quite a bit, I think. It's
yeah.
the movies where I want to see the detective
True.
Pop up.
Right.
We get detective stories, I think, quite often. Hell, there's detective comedy. There's a whole book devoted to it.
right.
But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's Garth Ennis, and he's polarizing, to say the least,
yeah.
to a lot of people. And so you know, he's definitely not going to be able to do things in a Batman book that he did, like on Preacher or Punisher Max or some of those other stories that he did. So it'll be a little bit more tame when it comes to that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, we'll see where it goes. I thought it was fine, but like I said, I love those two panels. For me are worth the price of the book.
What were the panel? What did he say again? Do you remember?
Well, I don't remember it word for word now, but what it boils down to is, you know, he's saying everybody knows the bat don't kill or something like that. And he's like, basically, you're right. I will never kill you. But what you don't understand is that makes me worse than all of them because I won't let you die. So the implication is that I'm going to beat you till within an inch of your life and you're going to wish you were dead.
Right.
But I'm not going to let you die. You know, and I just thought that was such a great descriptor of Batman's character and personality that I loved it. I thought it was great. I don't really tweet comic panels out ever.
Right.
I was going to say very often, but I don't really ever do that. But I just thought, for whatever reason, when I read that, it just struck me as like so awesome that I had to put it out there.
Yeah.
So
it was pretty cool. Yeah. It was pretty. And that's what I said. I really like the story. So, but let's get to Robin.
Okay.
And I can't believe you didn't call me and text me right after you read it. Cause I texted you and said, had you read that yet? And I was kind of, I can't say blown away, but I really enjoyed the story.
I don't know what got you so much in this because
sitting on the cliff talking about my dad's into fishnets. Yeah. My dad's into leather a lot. I thought that was hysterical. And that's why I said to you earlier, I'm like, oh, we'll get to the fishnets later. I didn't say it, but that's what, you know, I was referring to the fishnets. But that's a new one. Did we know that Arrow had a kid?
Hunter? Yeah.
Oh, we knew that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure we knew that. I feel like I've heard of that guy. I've heard that name before.
I didn't know
I'm not the biggest Green Arrow reader out there, but...
Yeah, I've read him over there.
I mean, he has his daughter, his daughter Emiko. We met her in a couple... I think maybe in the New 52. Well, it might have been Rebirth Green Arrow. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, I didn't know we had a son. And a son that he abandoned.
But yeah, I feel like I knew that. Like I've heard of
I didn't know
I've heard that character's name before. But yeah, I kind of liked the uneasy friendship they had there until it just turned on a dime, you know.
Well, then now they have to battle.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the purpose of the island, which I'm wondering, is it possible that they go on after the story? After the island, because it is possible for them to survive, both survive.
Well, of course.
And then.
Yeah, and you could have like another Super Sons kind of. Buddy cop series going on with the two of them. I mean, who knows? I don't know what they're doing with Robin right now, with Damian, honestly. You know, they've broken him away from Bruce.
Right.
And. No, they don't speak anymore, and I don't know what's going on with the character. You know, he's ousted from the Teen Titans. He's kind of like nobody wants him.
At the end of this book, didn't Ra's show up? I believe he's at the very end of that. So
I think obviously, I think this series is setting the stage for what's coming for Robin going forward. But I don't know the direction they're trying to take the character in. So. It'd be interesting to
see. I'm really enjoying it, though. It's very
entertaining. Oh, I am, too. I think it's great.
Super entertaining. It doesn't have the depth and story of, like, you know, what Zdarsky's doing with Daredevil or what we're getting with.
It's fun, though.
You know, Nightwing. But this is just so much fun. And how long is this story? Is this ongoing?
I think it's 5 issues.
Oh, it's just 5?
I think it's 5 issues.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame. I love this Damian story.
Which
I
think this was number 3, so...
yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of halfway done with that.
Yeah. So, All right. I didn't get to Old Guard. I didn't get to a few this week. I didn't get to a lot this week. So
I did, but again, nothing really sticks out for me.
I love the Old Guard stories, but because I know they're just intermediate stories.
I didn't read this latest issue, to be honest with you. I just wasn't too into it. I'm not in a hurry to read it.
It's not going anywhere.
I really wanted to read Sweet Tooth. So
that's cool.
Kind of put some of that stuff on the back burner.
Right.
I may go back and read the Old Guard. I may not. Because like you said, at the end of the day,
it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're origin stories. They're right. Just little blurbs, really. So
yep.
It's not like it's advancing the story at all.
Yeah.
So.
All right. All righty. What do we got next? Oh, are you ready to get to some real world chitter chatter?
Sure.
All right.
I am.
All right. What was on your screen this week, John? Tell us all about
There was a new show that premiered on AMC this week called Kevin Can F Himself. Did you see this?
No. Kevin who? Okay. Hart?
No. Kevin. Kevin, the husband of this woman.
Oh, okay.
It's like a dark comedy. It stars Annie
Sounds
Murphy.
Oh, cool.
Who was on Schitt's Creek. He played the daughter, sister, on Schitt's Creek. So I really like her a lot. I think she's funny. I like her as an actress. So anyway, she stars in this show. And like I said, it's a really dark comedy. But she's in a bad marriage. She's married to basically Ralph Cramden / Fred Flintstone,
Yeah.
Grew up guy that's very self-centered, very selfish kind of guy. And has a best friend that's clearly Ed Norton or Barney Rubble or whatever.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this show is that, like, the way she views her marriage with her husband. So anytime the husband or the friend are on screen at all, this thing appears like a sitcom. It's got the laugh track. It's got the vibrant colors. It looks like you're watching a sitcom. But anytime anybody else is on the screen or they walk off the screen, it reverts to like a drama, like a darker show in tone, and it looks like
to like I said, a
drama show. It doesn't have that sitcom feel.
Yeah.
There's no laugh track. There's no, it's darker. It's kind of a dingy world. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it takes place in Worcester, and so
Mass,
especially yeah. So especially
really?
When we're in the sitcom part of it, it's very played up with the accent. The accent.
Come on, really?
It's very very stereotypical. Yeah, Boston accent. But
Which is
the
funny.
The first episode was basically they say it was like a 2-hour premiere, but it was really just two episodes back to back. So that was like last week, and then this past Sunday, episode 3 dropped. So we've watched all of those, and that was – I really like it. I think it's going to be a pretty funny show. So that was that. And then so Friday I got – actually, not that this is part of the real world, but I got pretty sick on Thursday afternoon / Friday.
You don't get much more real than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I was going to say is it allowed me to watch a few more things, basically,
because
I stayed home sick Friday. I was like really sick as a dog all Thursday night and into Friday morning, afternoon area. But so I stayed on the couch and I watched some TV. So I watched Tenet, which I hadn't seen yet.
Oh, really? Here we go.
It's on the HBO Max. And
it's on the Max. What'd
you
think?
So what this movie taught me is that unless it's a Batman movie, like I'm just not smart enough to watch Christopher Nolan movies. Like I really have no idea what this movie was about. I don't know what was going
Between
on.
Between Tenet and Inception, it's like, I know exactly
what
you're saying.
I don't get Inception either. Yeah, I don't get Inception. I watched this, and the problem is that I really started – I just checked out of it because, like, I
Really?
I really follow it. Yeah, like, I watched it.
Were you able to turn it up? Because it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I had it at reference level. Like, I had it, all right. I had it blasting. And, yes, it. Now, again, it was on HBO Max, and it wasn't – well, I guess Nolan doesn't use Atmos anyway.
No.
So I guess it was just in 5.1 DTX or whatever. Yep. But, yeah, it sounded incredible. It looked incredible. You know, all that was great. It just – I didn't get it, really, and – the problem is I didn't love it enough to watch it another time to see if I get it more, you know.
There's
what I mean?
So much, though, when you go back through it a second time. I don't want to give anything away in case people haven't watched it, but it's been out for quite a while.
When you watch it a second time,
you'll be like, yeah. I know there were so many things that Nolan focuses in on that you go, they're just little nuggets as the movie goes along that you're like, oh, it was there all along, like the giveaway for the end. It's so good. I love his movies.
I don't know. It's like I don't necessarily – like I don't want a movie to be so dumbed down and spoon-fed to me. But I also don't want to have to work that goddamn hard to watch a movie
but
either.
See, it's,
you know,
fun
what I mean?
Every now and then to do a little bit of work and to sit there and just let the – and absorb the movie and try to – like, for me, it's like when I'm looking at the screen, I'm just like, I just want to get as much information as I can because I'm trying to figure out what's going on. It's that to me is fun. I get it. I know what you're saying, because sometimes you just want to sit there and throw in, like, Independence Day, which I'm doing. I'm enjoying right now. I'm in the middle of doing. But, oh, I love that. But Transformers, Independence, you just leave your brain at the door and eat popcorn and have fun. Tenet is not that movie.
No, it was not. It was not. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't get it.
It's probably not the best one to watch when you're not feeling well either.
Well, maybe not. But so I finished that, and then I started scrolling through Netflix, and I came across one of my all-time favorite movies that I hadn't seen in a long time. So I watched The Josie
Annie?
Wales.
No.
No. The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh.
I love that movie. I haven't seen it in
forever.
Probably, I don't know if I've seen it even since I've been with Lydia. Because when I mentioned it to her that evening, she's like, "I don't know if I've ever even seen that one." And I was like, "We've never watched that together." And she's like, "I don't think so." So now I'll be watching it again soon because I want to watch it with her. But anyways, I just love the one-liners in that movie. I love the movie. But yeah, it's kind of remastered for Netflix. It got the HD treatment. So it looked really good. You know, it's just as cheesy as it ever was because it's an old Clint Eastwood Western movie.
Yeah. Is that the one that – did that one get a 4K yet?
I don't believe so. I don't think.
I know they're doing a bunch of them.
Well, I know they did Unforgiven, and they did
a couple of the other ones, but
I don't think they did Josie. I don't know.
Yeah,
if they do, I'm
so
definitely going to
grab
it.
I don't think that one got it because a bunch of his movies are popping up right now. I think The Good, The Bad, The Ugly got a 4K.
Yeah, that one's even older than this, so
I
if
know,
that got it, then
I know.
This one
That's
definitely
why I'm like,
could.
Yeah.
This was 76, this movie came out.
So
anyways, you know, not breaking any new ground with that one. It's a 40-year-old movie.
Yeah.
But I watched that. I just really dug it. I had a great time watching that. I was kind of – by that time, I was starting to feel
You're
better,
me
too.
Making me
want
to go watch it.
Yeah. So I watched that. And then other than that, you know, we're still dug in like a tick on Queen of the South. It's like we're just watching and watching and watching. We've got 4 episodes left of season 4.
Dug in like a tick.
And although I just found out that season 5 just finished airing on USA, and it's the final season. So I have to figure out now where I can get that because it's not on Netflix yet.
Yeah.
And I don't have USA as part of any of my little TV package, so I'm going to do some digging because we'll finish this season 4, not tonight, but we'll watch a couple tonight and watch the rest of it tomorrow. Really liking that show a lot. So
yeah.
That was pretty much it. You know, really, we watched just a lot of that. course, we'll talk. We watched The Bad Batch and we watched Home Before Dark.
We haven't caught up on that. Haven't watched Home Before Dark. We watched a couple more Selena's, Queen of the South. We didn't do a lot. We went away over the weekend just for one, like an overnight thing. But we haven't really sat down, had a chance to watch anything. We have one episode of Lucifer left. Sat down Sunday to watch it and I fell asleep like 10 minutes into it. And I'm the one that loves that show. I was just exhausted. Yeah. I just was like, huh. And she's like, you pulled a Jen. It's like, that's usually what she does. Yeah. And so we stopped it. But the good news is I'm like looking forward to it now. I'm like, oh, it's not over, you know, because we've been kind of dragging our feet on or I have been, because, you know, like I said with Chuck years ago, I didn't finish Chuck because I didn't want to finish those last couple. You don't want it to be over, right? And it's like, just one episode. I know there's a six coming, so I got time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing up Lucifer. So, but yeah, Queen of Salt's really good. Selena's really good.
And then we watched the last episode of Mythic Quest, which I think was the last episode of Mythic Quest.
I don't think
it's coming back for another season.
That's on Apple, it's possible, though, isn't it?
It's on Apple TV. It's possible it could come back, but based on the ending of this season, it really feels like they wrapped it.
Okay.
And it was fun. It was good. Like, it's a funny show. It was good. But I think that's the end for that. So.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't gotten back into that one yet, but we will be doing that. I'm trying to think of what else. I haven't had a much opportunity to sit down lately, so. All right. I don't even know. Oh, Bad Batch. I am so out of it today, John. I don't even know what our next feature. I have to look at our notes and be like, what do we got to talk about next? All right. You ready to get to the Bad Batch? All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bad Batch. Episode 9, and we've
halfway
got...
Halfway done.
Yep. Is it?
A little more than halfway done, because it's 16.
Yeah, a little more. 16, so yeah, just over halfway. More Cad Bane, which is...
The Cad Bane Fennec Stand show
episode, this week, right?
Yeah.
I like how they keep using... You know, speaking of the good, the bad, the ugly, and all that, they keep using the Western sound anytime he comes on screen, even before he gets on screen. You're like, oh, here he comes.
definitely the old West.
They just don't have Boba gets the Spurs sound. I think he's the only one that gets that, but yeah, you got pretty much the old West sound. Is there a lot you want to talk about with Cad?
I got a couple. Of questions. This was kind of like, the Bad Batch, Clone Force 99. They're trying to get Omega back, trying to get away from Cad. Fennec is there, and she's trying to get Omega away from Cad as well. You kind of find out once and for all who each one of them are working for.
Yeah, big
and reveals. I kind of liked the way it wrapped up with Fennec and the director or whatever,
Yeah, she literally was trying to help. That's her directive. Basically, like, it's not like she's got a great heart. It's just that's her directive. That's what she's paid to do.
Well, that's her directive, right? But it's kind of like the Kaminoan is like, we don't need her back. I'm just happy if she's not with that, like, basically, she's not
because she's protecting her, and it's like she's feel like there's going to be even a more of a story going on with the Kaminoans because they have some infighting going on that maybe they're not 100% aware of.
They do and we actually got a pretty. I almost forgot this, and we definitely need to talk about it. But we got a pretty big reveal on like her origin and like her importance.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get to that question. It's like I don't. Here's the thing. Did they ever explain what makes Jango so special? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, all of the clones were made out of him.
Right.
Why? Like, what makes him so special?
Maybe his genetic makeup was just conducive to the cloning process. Like maybe not everybody's is. I don't know. Yeah, they didn't,
right.
They never really said, but they reveal that she is the last pure specimen of his DNA. Basically,
she's the only one they know of in existence because they don't know where Bulba is. Is what
they don't know where Bulba is. But basically, her and Bulba were the only two unaltered, pure examples of Django's DNA that were left.
Right.
And so that's why the Kaminoans want her back, obviously, because they need to continue the cloning process.
Right. They want her DNA, and
so
then,
they can keep.
But
their
they don't want
afloat.
Her.
Right.
Best way to put it.
And I think that You don't necessarily know why the other one is trying to keep her away, but I guess she just doesn't want her to be killed because their plan is basically to extract the DNA that they need from her and just get rid of her,
Right.
And
it's not hard to extract, get a hair.
Yeah. But like I said, that was a pretty big piece of information that we didn't have prior
to this. But doesn't
that was another
one of my questions. It's like there's got to be something more than just her DNA that they need from her because they could just get that with a hair or a skin sample or anything. They'd just be like, pluck a hair off her head and come back and we don't need the rest.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't care where she goes. We just need to get her DNA. So there's got to be something more about her that makes her special. And the other thing is we don't know why Django's so special. There's got to be something. And two, call me crazy, ignorant, whatever. How can you be a clone if you're the opposite sex? Because isn't a clone a copy?
Same DNA, but I think you can have male and female clones.
Well, I thought if you cloned something, it was like you copied it. You know what I mean?
It's made from that genetic marker.
I'm just thinking
I don't know.
If you put a piece of paper into a printer and it spit out something else, you'd be like, this isn't what I asked for.
There's no other female clones of Django. She seems to be the only one.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer, honestly, because, we don't currently have that technology. So I don't know.
Well, we don't have the tech.
But I
haven't heard where you take a clone and then I'm going to clone John and it's going to be Jeanette.
Right.
I wanted a clone of John.
I mean, maybe they went in there and muddled the mixture a little bit,
I'm wondering if that's going to be part of the story is what, what I'm getting to. It's like,
They genetically altered her to be female,
right,
as opposed to male, but I don't know why they would do that from a purely
to breed them
cloning standpoint.
Is it already breeding clones? Do you need
you're
female
making clones,
to breed?
Right,
it's weird.
The breeding process is way too slow for what they need to happen. Like they can't be doing one clone every year. They're making millions, so like to breed doesn't seem like something they would be interested in. But, I don't know. I guess we've got 7 more episodes. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. So. And Boba's actually, he's the alpha.
Right.
She's obviously Omega. But does she get her own Fett name eventually? Because Boba's Fett.
Oh,
we got
Omega,
Django
Fett. Is it Omega Fett?
Well, Alpha. Boba's not Alpha Fett.
Right.
So,
but Django is Django Fett. So,
right. Does she get a
Boba's
family
just
name?
His first
like
name.
Your real name? Boba's his first name. Does she get like a Rose Fett?
I don't know. Rose.
I don't know.
Rose Fett. Yeah. Maybe.
Rose
or Fett.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm like, a lot was revealed in that episode. And
It was actually
good,
quite a bit.
Getting back to just like the more action stuff, the Fennec Cad Bane duel.
Yeah, those
fights,
the duel was awesome.
And
yeah, they were
Fennec's
awesome.
Fennec can fight.
She's a pretty bad. Yeah, she can. She probably could take down Hunter as well because
apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got that the ball on the string there that she kept
wrapping
up.
Bolo, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Cad Bane has the old has the Boba Fett flamethrowers off
flamethrowers on his wrists. Yeah. He's got jetpacks in his feet.
Yep.
Off his ankles.
I guess that's they shop at Bounty Hunters R Us. That's standard Bounty Hunter equipment. So
exactly. Exactly. But yeah, great episode. And like you said, we're at 9, so we still have 6, 7 left. So we're looking good. Looking good. It's really, really picking up at this point. So
it is. Yeah, it's starting to move along pretty quickly.
Yeah. Really good. All right. Is that enough on that?
I think so.
You ready to wrap it up? And then we'll get to some Loki spoiler talk and kryptonite?
Yeah.
All right. This has been the Bright Side Chat. You can reach us at Brightside_chat on Twitter or at Arkham Comics with an X, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check us out in all the other great podcasts at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com, and you can check us out on YouTube. Hit subscribe. That would be great. It's been a great week, John. I can't wait for next week. We'll talk a lot more about this and other things. And so much to do, so much to see, so much to read about. And then after that, we're getting into kryptonite, right?
We are.
All right.
Yes.
Say live long and prosper, and we're out of here.
Live long and prosper.
Hey, Fred. All right, John. Is that door locked?
It is locked.
Sweet. All right, let's get into Loki. What was your question exactly? We'll just get right into that, and then we'll talk about all the other fun stuff. Yeah, you had a question that. What is he doing?
I didn't really have a question. I just feel like.
Yeah, like, where's he going?
Yeah, I don't really know what he's doing.
And here's the thing. Here was my answer that I wanted to give you in spoilers, because if you're not watching it, I didn't want to spoil it for people. I don't think Loki knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because he ended up there by accident. He's still figuring everything out, right? So,
well, you're right.
It's disappointing that it's only 6 seasons. Six episodes. But I think Loki's still like playing off the cuff here. He's still figuring things out, because if you think about it, in 3 episodes, he went from 2012 to the TVA.
Right.
And now he finds out he has what we think is his, you know, a variant of him.
Right.
And he's not really sure, but I think he's as much in the dark as we are. And he's just trying to figure his way through a lot of this stuff. And like I said last week, which is pretty cool, because think of what he figured out that the TVA could never figure out.
Right.
And, you know, figuring out where his variant was and where they hid in the disasters, Sylvie. That's pretty cool. But all of this, and he's just trying to figure things out and figure out where he's going to go and how he's going to survive. And I do think he's changed his agenda a little bit. His agenda used to be to take over Earth.
Well,
but
right.
Now it's
and
not.
The thing is,
I really think that's changed in 3 episodes.
Like, is he, you know, is he hunting Sylvie? Is he trying to help Sylvie? Like, is he trying to help her execute her plan at this point? Like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. All he seems to want to do is get an audience with the timekeepers. Seems to be willing to do whatever he thinks will get him that audience. Although I don't know how running away with Sylvie is going to get him an audience with the timekeepers. But I don't know why he even wants that, because I don't know what he thinks he's going to accomplish.
I'll tell you why.
By having a meeting with them, you know.
Because he doesn't believe they exist.
Well, you're right.
You know what I mean? I'll bet you he thinks, like, get me in front of them so I know who I'm dealing with. It's not that he's going to negotiate. I think he's wondering, who are these people? They're mysterious people that, whatever. And, like, he keeps making fun of them. He has little term, like the lizard people or whatever he calls them. And he says, I think he just wants to get in front of them to see what their agenda is. Because I really don't think he even knows exactly what his play is yet, because he doesn't 100% know what he's dealing with. And then you jump into what happened this week, which we talked about at the end of last week's podcast. And it's like, we find out that the TVA is made up of variants.
Right. Which we kind of, right. We kind of
we actually
to
talked
last
about,
week.
We're like, are they variants? And we're like, we weren't sure. And it's like, you know,
I didn't think they were, but you know, that was something you brought up and I kind of didn't think they were, but because I thought if they were all variants, they would be more sympathetic. But the idea here is that they don't know they're variants.
They don't know it.
You know,
and it's like, but
she says, well, Sylvie says that they're all variants, but they don't know it.
Right.
So,
from different parts in time.
Right.
But you know what I thought was interesting about this episode was that Sylvie says she's from 100 years ago. Where are they? How can she be from 100 years ago? Where, you know
right,
what I mean?
100 years from, right, from when?
Right.
Like because where they were this week was like 90 years in our future. So if she's from 100 years ago, she's from like 2012.
Time. Yeah, exactly.
She's basically from Loki's time.
Where Loki just came from.
Yeah. And, you know, she doesn't want to be called Loki, obviously. She wants, you know, she says, don't call me a Loki. She's Sylvie.
Right, but she's not 100%. We don't know. I would say
well,
she's more
know,
of a Loki
again,
than she is an Enchantress.
Well, in the comics, Sylvie is the is Enchantress.
Okay.
So, now that doesn't mean that that's what she is in this show.
Right.
But in the comics, Sylvie is Enchantress 2, which now I remember. That's what we talked about in Back Issue Bonus like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
We talked about Enchantress 2. And then when I watched the episode, I found out why that was a thing. So that's what it was. So she's not like the original Enchantress that you meet back in like Journey into Mystery 103 or whatever.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, she is known as the Enchantress. So, you know, again, that doesn't mean that's the direction they're taking in this show, but that's definitely who she was based upon in the comics.
But they seem to be like, they seem to be shying away from that. Like, you know what I mean? Like all, and I know these are filmed long ahead before the public is guessing that Enchantress is going to show up, but it sounds like they led us in that direction. And now they're pulling the rug out from under that. Like she's not, she just has those power. Like she utilizes that.
Well, she but taught herself those powers.
Right.
And she's trying to teach Loki how to use those powers, I guess.
Do you think she's trying to learn how to do his magic too? I felt like it was kind of, she was doing like a quid pro quo thing. Like she wants to learn what he does too.
Right.
And that's why I think she is like, she is a Loki. She is, you know, and she's, you know, adapting and stuff like that. So, which is basically what we know Loki is. Like he'll adapt to anything.
Right.
You know, what did you?
Yeah. I don't know, and don't know really what her motivation is either. You know what I mean?
No,
and I'm sure we find out more next episode.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll.
Did you notice that Loki was doing the thing back to her that Mobius did to him? Like, remember it was like, okay, so you want to take over the Earth? That's great. And then what?
Right.
And now he's doing that back to her. Like, okay, what did you want to do? What's your goal here? What are we doing? And like, he's asking all the questions you're asking about the show. Like, where are we going? What is this? And that's what makes me think like he doesn't know yet. And he's still trying to figure this all out. And I'm like really interested in like, we have 3 episodes left, but there's so much to unpack in each episode. How is this going to all wind? Like, don't you feel like this can't all take place in 6 episodes?
Well, I feel like we always say that about every show, and then they end up, you know what I mean? They end up figuring out a way to wrap it up. But yeah, it feels like being halfway through it, there's a lot left to do still.
Yeah.
But
well, they've exposed
you know,
such a huge universe, like all of time.
It could all just get packed into the last 3 episodes. You know, because that was the other thing, too. I felt like with this episode here, like, there were dire stakes, right? Like, there's a legit chance that they could be wiped out of existence. If they're stuck on this planet when
well,
it explodes.
Well, those variants, though.
Those
wouldn't
variants,
that be
right?
bad?
Well,
that's not
to,
even bad.
Well,
that's what
to
the
them
TVA
it is, because
oh,
it,
them,
it ends their life. You know what I mean?
Right.
But neither one of them seemed to be in that big of a hurry to do anything. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like, you don't feel like you might move it along a little bit. You know what I mean? It just felt like they didn't seem to be in too big of a rush based given like what the circumstances were that they were
right.
in. So I thought that was kind of like, well, get a move on, you know, like, I don't know. Does Loki fly? I don't remember if Loki flies or not, but it's like, why are you on the train? You know?
Right.
Like, don't you have any quicker ways to get where you need to go?
Yeah.
And I also kind of feel like at least this version of Loki, who's a lot more kind of calculating and thinker or whatever, I don't feel like he would blow their cover by getting wasted on the train. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like, that seemed a little bit out of character. And how does he even get drunk? Like, Thor can't get drunk, right? He just says, I'm just full. I'm not drunk. So,
right. Like, that's what Loki
how
says.
Did he even goes, get
I'm not drunk. I'm full.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So. Did you like?
Yeah, I was kind of. And that was a fun scene. Don't get me wrong. Like the dancing and the singing and all that was fun. But I just kind of felt like you don't have time for this, man. Like,
He smashed
you guys need
his.
To go.
He smashed his glass like Thor does in the first Thor when he had a coffee. He's like everybody's like, what are you doing? We don't do that here. Did you like the final that one shot scene at the end? Where like the whole disaster's taking place and Loki and Sylvie? It's like. It was. I watched that a couple of times. You could see where they do the break in. I didn't think it was as good as what they did in Daredevil, especially in season 3. And Daredevil did that hospital scene. That was really good because that's not CGI'd. You know, this is all heavily CGI'd, so it's easier to have a break. You know, so but they did. They kind of wanted to go for that. You know, Daredevil feel or movie 1917
well, like
with
each,
the long
every
shot.
Every one of them does like that one episode. Like they have that one
the
shot
long
in
shot.
The season.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. Yeah. Speaking of that, did you ever see 1917, the movie?
No.
Oh,
still haven't seen it.
That's supposed. That whole movie is supposed to be one shot. It's not obviously, but.
No, it's not.
It's incredible.
I know it's supposed
to be. If you know that going in and you're trying to look for the breaks, some of them, there's like, I think there's like four, maybe it's five, but there might be four or five breaks that you're going to be like, all right, I could kind of see that. But obviously there's more than that. And just, it's so well done because it's not heavily CGI'd. It's, you know, what World War One. So
practical
it's
effect.
Like, it's practical, you know. Effects. It's crazy. And then listening to the special effect, like listening to the extras on where they did do the breaks and the creative ones, like I want to say, maybe this isn't one, but it's along these lines of like, do you see the shadow in his face right there and how it comes across the screen? That's one. And you're like, oh my God, they just got a close up on a guy's face and used the shadow. It's crazy. But all right. Let's see what else, anything else from Loki?
I don't think so.
No. Do we have any other spoilers to tell everybody that's going to happen as we're speaking right now? It's already happened because week
we've done it the last 2 weeks in a row, actually. But,
I know
because we kind of broke the Enchantress thing 2 weeks ago, and then we broke the TVA thing this week. But no, I don't have any insights into this one.
No. Nope. So all right, we'll take this week off and just enjoy and let the people enjoy.
Exactly.
All right, that'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
All right. Take care.